What up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Empire 161 show. We got Rough Odors music playing right about now. Lisa, what's the name of the song?
Oi Corre by Bad Bunny, and it's allegedly his song, but it doesn't sound familiar. But then again, I haven't seen him up at bat in a while, so.
This is true. That's a fair point. It's been a little bit, at least at home. Thanks for joining us tonight on this Sunday evening. I know it's, we've been off for a little bit, but, you know, life happens. You know, what are you going to do? Some guy was sick last week, so he wasn't able to do it. So that's on me. But we're excited to have you here. Thanks for joining us, whether it's on the Facebook stream or if you're joining us on YouTube or if you're joining us on Instagram or the audio-only version or if you're on YouTube or Twitter, wherever it is. Thanks for checking us out. We super appreciate it. Lisa, what's up? What do we got on tap for tonight?
All right. So as Ed said, it has been a little while for us. And Ed, I just want to say I'm glad you're feeling much better. Regardless,
it was not COVID.
It was not COVID. Ed lost his voice, and he wanted to be true to our listeners and make sure you got 100%. So he rested up, and he drank his tea. And he just took care of himself. So he did this for you folks. Okay. because we paused last week, we have a lot of things to go over. And listen, we're going to go over some of these things really quickly because nobody wants to relive the debacle that was last week. And nobody really wants to live the debacle that was this week too. But we're going to get through it all. If you can go back in time, we're going to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony because how could we not? Our dear captain was in it. And we're going to talk. I'm excited about talking a little bit about Hispanic Heritage Month, which started on September 15th. And my hat tonight is going to be part of the discussion. So I'm very excited about that. And we'll just talk about the last 2 weeks. And it's going to be a little bit hard, but Ed and I were able to actually choose a King of the Hill and a Top of the Heap. But it was real hard, really hard. So we'll get into it in a minute. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
All right. So yeah, we're gonna get through it together. That's the key. That we're gonna do this together. The roller coaster season that the Yanks have given us of 2021 is up and down. We're hoping next week we'll be in a much more jollier mood, but we're still gonna have fun with it because that's why we're here. No one wants to hear us bitch for 45 minutes to an hour. There will be some bitching. I can't promise there won't be some, but. It is what it is. I mean, we got to call it how it is because we're fair, not homers, and that's it. So overall for baseball in general, there wasn't too much of a, you know, too many crazy stories. I know Eddie Rosario hit for the cycle earlier today, so that's pretty cool. Always a rare feat. But we're going to get started on a couple of topics that we didn't have a get a chance to talk about. The first one being this guy, our beloved number two, the captain, Derek Jeter, getting his day in Cooperstown back on September 8th. He got his ceremony and gave a speech, and his family was there. And dude and Michael Jordan sitting in the second row and Patrick Ewing sitting in the second row. So, I mean, that's says enough, but we need to know about the respect he has around sports. I got a chance. I was fortunate enough to check it out. I was working from home, so I got to have that on. Him and Larry Walker did outstanding jobs by all, but we're going to, obviously being a Yankee show, we're going to focus on Jeter. Lisa, what were your thoughts on the speech?
Well, first of all, the only reason why I was able to see it was because you were kind enough to share some information with me. So thank you very much. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to see it. I did have to wait until later in the evening, but I made sure to tune in. There was nothing I wanted to do more than to see his Hall of Fame speech. I was even getting people texting me during the day like, did you go? And I was like, damn it, I should go. But clearly people knew how much he is one of my all-time favorite Yankees. So much respect for everything that he did as a Yankee in contribution to my favorite sport in the world. So it was really great to see him. I do want to point out, though, with Larry Walker, did you notice that he was wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants pin?
I did see that. And I was wondering what the heck it was because I'm not too familiar with SpongeBob, honestly.
Me either.
And it hadn't pointed out to me on Twitter. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
So that's I noticed cool. it. And I also noticed his kids are old enough that he shouldn't be wearing one. And I don't think he has grandkids yet. I think he's like, his kids are old enough, but not old enough to have, well, I mean, anybody's old enough to have a kid, I suppose, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just weird. I need to look into that a little bit more, but I wanted to point that out. But in terms of Derek Jeter, I mean, listen, the guy had a storybook career and he had a storybook speech. I thought it was, what I liked about it was that it showed his sense of humor more. And I don't think we got to see that very much when he was actually a Yankee. I know he took his role seriously as somebody that represents not only the Yankees organization, but Major League Baseball. So he was mostly serious during his career. And you didn't get to see the lighter side of him until closer to the end more. But you saw it in his speech. There were two things in particular that I love that I'm going to let you, I know you're going to talk about them because we already had that discussion. I thought his two little daughters, it was so funny. They were paying attention. And then like, as soon as he spoke, they were like, we don't care what daddy's saying, which is like perfect for their ages. And I honestly think that his daughters are like a mini Derek and a mini Hannah. It was like,
yeah, they really look like their parents, man.
They 100% look like them. So I thought that was cute too, but I'll let you go into detail about the speech itself because I know we talked about it already.
Yeah, I mean, one of my two favorite, I mean, well, I guess two favorite, but two of my favorites were when he went ahead and thanked all the baseball writers except for one. Because it's like, you know something, screw that, man. Like, this. Yeah. Listen, the whole, he got this one guy who didn't vote for him, which is absurd.
Or woman, means, come on. Or woman.
Or woman, yeah, whoever the writer was. So a writer decided that, oh, yeah, they looked at the ballot and they're like, Derek Jeter. No, not a Hall of Famer. But this thing goes back for a while. And this is something that's always aggravated me with the Baseball Hall of Fame. Where, because there were people earlier on who looked at it and was like, Babe Ruth, not a Hall of Famer. Really. Ted Williams. Well, we won't just make it Yankee-like. Ted Williams, one of the greatest hitters ever, obviously played for the Red Sox. Nah, he's not a Hall of Famer. Joe DiMaggio, no. But, you know, the list goes on. Stan Musial, you know, things like that. Nothing. So now, all of a sudden, future writers felt this need where, oh, we can't make this guy the most unanimous one. He can't be the first unanimous one. And it went on for years. And it was almost like they had to draw straws to see who was going to look like an idiot today and not vote for this person, Ricky Henderson. Somebody looked at it and was like, no. Ken Griffey Jr. Somebody's like, nah. Really? You should have your privileges for as a baseball writer, your voting privileges wiped away the second you get that crap. Whoever's opening these things would just be like, nah, you're done. That's it. You obviously don't know what the hell you're talking about. And it does say a lot for Mo that he's the only unanimous Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that doesn't mean something. It does. Because apparently somebody had to be it sooner or later. And that shows to what everyone thought how highly of it. But still, really, like, I don't care. As long as you're in the Hall of Fame, you're in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what the percentage is.
Yeah.
That's not really a big deal.
It shouldn't be. I have a question, though. I don't know if you know this or not. Is it possible for some of those folks that you mentioned that, like, I don't know, a writer was like on vacation, so they missed the deadline. Like, they didn't get to put in their answer, so
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I mean, I think – I don't know. No, I'm sure they got to count their vote sooner or later. But
all right.
They have to. But the thing, no, it became its own thing where it's like, oh, can this guy be the first unanimous? Or maybe this guy can be – like, that's what it started turning into. It's a simple question. Yes or no, Hall of Famer. End of story. That's it. And baseball's the only one that has this whole stick up their butt about this thing where, oh, we can't make this guy unanimous and stuff. All the other Hall of Fames are like, all right, Hall of Famer, yes or no, you're in. That's it. Boom. Who cares? With baseball, it became this whole crazy thing. And, yeah, I'm glad Jeter pointed that out. He's like, no, to you? No, I'm not thanking you because you didn't vote for me. Like, because you're still playing this stupid kid game. That's it. Someone's been unanimous. That should have been over with. But whatever. And then the other thing, you know, so I thought it was great that Derek pointed that out, talking about how he's still that competitive. Like, he's going to call you out. Like, his boy, you know, one of my favorite athletes of all time, Michael Jordan. That was the same type of flavor, because to his Hall of Fame speech, he went in.
Different.
He went in on people. It was like, oh, yeah. The high school coach? who cut me from the varsity team? Yeah, guess what? You're coming to my Hall of Fame. You're going to come in, and I'm going to call you out.
Just so I can talk crap about you.
Just so I can talk shit. I wish the writer would have had the guts to show his name and be like, and do that, and that's what happened. And then the other thing where he was just like, listen, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but it was like, you know, our goal was to win more than everyone else. And we did. And I'm like, that's it. That's awesome. But he kept it very professional, very much like, you know, it was very much like a Jeter type speech. You know, like he gave the last speech at the last home game in the old stadium, which, you know, he always said that he didn't write it down. He wasn't reading off a paper. He grabbed a mic and off the cuff. No, the guy's always been a fantastic public speaker, and this was no different. And he was very complimentary to his teammates and everything like that, as you would expect with him. But I agree with you that we got to see, you know, him laughing and stuff. And during his career, you did get to see it at very small times. It was almost like in a dugout if the camera happened to be in there. He used to joke around with Don Zimmer all the time, and he would joke with Jeter and some of the guys. Like, hey, one of his the guys I remember him joking around with a lot was Matsui. He seemed to like loved Matsui.
Well, Matsui, when he wrote that, like for lack of a better word, love letter during the Players Tribune, excuse me, like he mentions Derek Jeter and how much he loves Derek Jeter.
Yeah, so, they were great.
Yeah, they're like a cute little duo for sure.
Yeah, and it was, you know, and you can tell he's beloved by a lot of his teammates. You know, Posada's like his best friend and stuff, and I mean Bernie Williams and Tino and, you know, Pettit and Mo obviously and everything. So, yeah, no, it was cool. I'm glad he finally got his time. I thought it was a weird thing that it was a Wednesday afternoon, and I get it. They had to kind of like fix it in and stuff, and they were trying to keep it like toned down a little bit due to COVID and stuff like that, but you know, there was still a bunch of people there. I've never went to one of these things with the Hall of Fame. Like, and obviously Jeter and Mo would be two people you think I would go to it, but I don't know. Like, it just kind of seems like, I'm assuming you probably have to get there at the crack of dawn to get your spot on the lawn and all of that. And I'm like, do I want to go through all of that? But then I think back and I'm like, I did camp out for playoff tickets back in the day.
I was going to say, of all the people I know,
I would probably be the person to do it.
That you have it, especially
no, I
have for
it.
Him.
I will. All right. So I will say this. I know for Jeter and Mo, I probably should have done it, and it's a long shot, and that's why I'm probably gonna. I will say it now. If Mattingly gets in for the Veterans Committee vote, because that's the only way he can get in right now, because he's off the ballot. If Mattingly finds a way to get in the Cooperstown, then I think I might have to make this happen. I think then I'm gonna have to just make the exception, because for Jeter and Mo, I mean those three right there are just named on my top three favorite Yankees. You know, Mattingly and Jeter and Mo fluctuate between two and three. I can't really name who's who and what. Like, it depends. I love both of them pretty much equally. But yeah, it was, you know, I'm gonna think I'd have to do that for Mattingly. But no, overall, I thought the speech was fantastic. I was glad to see him get his day. And it's just something. It's kind of like when you're watching as a fan, you're like, wow, I literally, from a teenager, it's like an adult now. I watched this dude's entire career, and he's retired now. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I know.
It's like, holy shit. I used to get crazy when I would see a guy I saw play manage or a coach, and I was like, oh, wow, what is that? Like, now his entire career is gone. And it's like, it's kind of surreal in a way. You're like, wow, that's kind of bananas.
In one of the recent games, Paul O'Neill was talking about, you know, like when I retired in, and I forgot the year it was, but it seemed.
Do you remember? After all one.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, it's been 20 years since he retired.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when he played, like, yeah, because he's one of my top five people. I love Paul O'Neill.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? How old am I? Which, you know, my birthday's this week, so I know how old I am. But, like, it was crazy when he said that. It blew my mind. I was like, holy crap, it seems like. And he also, he's one of those guys that he looks like he can still play. He's in great shape.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt a lot of these guys. I mean, Jeter looks like he's still in shape. Mo looks like he's in great shape still.
I think Jorge Posada looks better now than he did when he was on the team, too. I think he's in better shape now. But, I mean, we're talking, like I think, I don't recall what he looks like right this moment, but Willie Randolph for the longest time looked like he's still playing. He keeps in such great shape. Even Ricky Henderson, during old-timer games, he still tries to steal bases. So.
Listen, Ricky Henderson's playing somewhere. Guarantee it. He's playing in a rec league somewhere. I think he plays until the dude croaks. That dude will keep playing. I promise you, I guarantee Ricky's playing somewhere. Guarantee.
Oh, that would be awesome to see, because he probably still is way faster than many people.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't doubt if he played in one of these like softball leagues that like that we play like rec softball, dude would hit bombs and never get out. It would be ridiculous. So yeah, those guys from like the '70s that could probably still do that. But yeah, no, overall it was awesome, man. It was great to see him finally get his time. It sucks what happened last year. I had to postpone it, but he got his time, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing we wanted to touch on that we didn't really get a chance to get into was the game on the 20th anniversary game of 9/11, which was not this past Saturday. Obviously yesterday, but Saturday before that. It took place in Citi Field, the Yankees-Mets. Yes, the Yankees won the game, 8-7, a very back and forth. I know, back and forth, wild game. No, we're not highlighting this just because the Yankees, they lost the series, but hey, listen, you won that game and that's fine. And that's awesome. But getting to be there, though, I went with seven other people. We had a group of eight, and actually one of my other co-hosts, Tony Stabile, who I'll be on with after this, and Green Dispute, too, who was a Mets fan, he was at the game, too. He was one row right in front of me, which was
wild. I was going to say, he wasn't just at the game. He was randomly in the row.
Yeah, like our seats were here, and his was a little bit over at the end, and those were his season tickets. And it was wild because when I checked in on Facebook and he was like, dude, where are you sitting? And I texted him the section. He's like, and I think this is all on Facebook on the thing. He's like, get the hell out of here. I'm in the same section. When I got to my seats, I didn't see him. And then all of a sudden he walked in. He's in a row in front. I thought he was maybe like in the same section, but like way on the other side of it. Nah, dude was right there. And it was great. I haven't seen that guy in a while. And it was cool. I usually go to the games with like my cousins who are Mets fans and stuff like that out in the island. And it was cool to see them. My cousin Rob, I didn't get a chance to actually. We've never gone to a game together. It was the first time he's gotten into it.
Aww.
So it was cool. Like we got a good time. My cousin Mike, we always go to at least one Subway Series game a year in Citi Field, and that's a tradition that we do. And we didn't get to do it last year, so it was cool to do it this year. But I definitely think the Mets did a great job, and the Yankees, I'm sure they played their part in it too. But yes, it was orchestrated by the Mets, and they did a nice job with the ceremony. They had the players lining up together, side by side before the game, which I thought was really cool in unison. Everyone wore the FDNY and NYPD and Port Authority hats with the team logo on the side. I thought that was a really, really nice gesture. The whole thing on the field. With the star, we weren't sure what the flags they were holding were at first. I thought it was going to be the huge opening day flag, like American flag they were going to have there, but they kind of scattered out to a bunch of stars and like that. So that was cool too. They had a lot of nice videos and stuff like that that were touching about it. But it was definitely something that you'll never forget. It was a lot of cool stuff. I know you watched it on TV, right? Okay. Too. And I'm sure all this came through and everything like that. How did you feel about the whole ceremony?
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought they did a really beautiful job with it. I really enjoyed seeing Joe Torre and Bobby Valentine there throwing out the first pitches. I thought that was really nice too, because they were the two managers at the time. It was nice seeing some of the former players there too, with all of the first responders. Definitely appreciated hearing the story. I remember Mike Piazza's home run, but it was just nice to hear about it like in more detail. So they did show, I don't know if they showed that at the stadium, but they showed it on TV. And it was just cool to kind of remember and reflect on that. And I'm sure how important that was to have that done. And he said it's like one of the only home runs that he remembers in full detail and always will. So yeah. I thought that was really cool that he was able to have that experience and give that experience back to the New York fans and baseball fans. Because I think that, baseball and football were the two things that were clearly going on at the time when that happened. And like more than ever, we really needed something like that after what happened that day. I feel like every year, everybody, particularly those of us in New York, Pennsylvania, and DC, like whether you lost somebody or not, it still shakes you that that actually happened. And sports are a great way to keep people united. Even if you're rooting for different teams, you still, the ultimate love of that sport is what brings people together. So I can't imagine what Mike Piazza felt when he hit that home run. Yeah. But I'm sure that, you know, part of it was relief that he could bring some joy back to baseball fans. And I'm sure that everybody who played a football game the next day also felt like that too.
Yeah, and actually at the time, shortly after too, when hockey resumed, there was also a big moment when Mark Messier was handed a fireman's helmet, a Chiefs helmet. Mm-hmm. And he had went in and put that on and too, and that was like a big moment in New York Rangers history, where they had the fireman's helmet on by CAA at the blue line and stuff, and that was pretty awesome as well. The Piazza home run they were the first ones back, and you know that was pretty cool. And they did play the video of that at Citi Field, and hearing Chipper Jones talk about it, he kind of says he had a premonition that was what happened. He went to Andrew Jones's glove and he's like that's something. And that was like the only game that they didn't mind, the Braves didn't mind losing. And yeah, that was, you know, that was something. You know, in the 2001 World Series, you know, unfortunately the ending was what it was, but the three home games that the Yanks had, comebacks and everything, it was like the games that were played in New York were won in dramatic fashion and stuff. And it kind of felt like, you know, that's the way, you know, it should go. And in game five, when you had reference Paul O'Neill retiring, that was his last game, and the fans got to send him off, and you know, and shame his name and stuff like that. And you know, I know that had choked him up at the time as well. But yeah, no, it was a really nice job all around on both sides and stuff like that. And you know, ironically, the benches cleared the next night, and Angie pointed out, she's like, yeah, they were standing next to each other side by side last night, but then tonight it's back to business as usual. You know, in another close game, the Yanks unfortunately had dropped. But the 9/11 game, that's something I'll always remember. That was a very, very special event, you know, all around. You know, it was pretty awesome to see. All right, so let's get into the week that was, the up and down week for the Yanks, which has been unfortunately been the case more often than not this season. We'll take a nice happy ride back to on Monday, when the Yanks had won, and it came back against the Twins. They were down 5-0 at one point. This was they went ahead and walked it off in the 10th inning. Gary Sanchez, walk-off single. But the game did start, though, with Luis Gil getting another start, took the no decision, but went 6 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, a walk, 8 Ks. Ks are good. 6 innings, okay. But he obviously labored through a lot of it. Joey Gallo was 2-for-4, hitting his 33rd homer of the year, which seemed like it was like, all right, 5-2, you know, we'll see how it goes. But then Aaron Judge follows it up with 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th, game-tying 3-run homer to right center field, his 33rd of the year, obviously 3 RBIs. And, you know, Chapman held it down and gave Sanchez the pinch hit opportunity to walk it off in an RBI single in the 10th, knocking in the ghost runner. After Gio Urshela was trying to bunt him over, and embarrassingly, I don't know what the hell was going on there. I mean, he could not get that bunt down for shit. But it was the first time the Yanks came down and came back to win a game that they were down 4 runs or more for the first time this season. At the time, it was them and the Marlins. They were 0-34 before this when trailing by four runs or more. That was pretty wild. So, you know, you kind of feel like, all right, maybe this is it. This is the sign of things to start turning around and stuff like that. You got any notes on this before we keep it moving along?
Not on this one, nope.
No. All right, so that was Monday afternoon in a makeup game from earlier in the season, a weird 2 o'clock start. So the Yanks would go ahead and take a trip down to Baltimore where they got it going again. The Yanks kept on swinging, thinking the momentum's going. They smacked the O's around 7-2. Garrett Cole came back. He never had to hit the IL, thankfully, after that hamstring strain. But he picked up his 15th win of the season to push his record to 15-7. Only lasted 5 innings, 4 hits, an earned run, 3 walks, very un-Cole-like, but 7 Ks, very much Cole-like. Aaron Judge hit his 34th home run of the season, driving in 2. Stanton hit his 28th home run of the season, driving in two. Luke Voit hit his 10th homer of the year. And DJ LeMahieu was 2-for-5, hitting his 10th home run of the year with 2 runs scored. And Anthony Rizzo was 2-for-4 with a run scored. This game, though, 7-2, you would think it was kind of one with all these homers being hit. It had the feeling of a blowout, but then all of a sudden, had to go to Chapman. That's the big story here, is that, you know, things started getting a bit messy. They had to use him that night, shut it down. But that would take effect later in the week to teach you again how with baseball is so much different than the other games, because all these games are intertwined. They're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to exactly where that came to bite them in the ass later in the week. Lisa, anything on this game?
I do. I have a couple of notes on this. So Garrett Cole was named the player of the game, and you gave us his line. But I wanted to point out that he is now on the list for the most strikeouts in a single season in franchise history. So at the time of that game, he had 224 strikeouts. He has a little bit more now. Luis Severino had 230 strikeouts in 2017. CC Sabathia had 230 in 2011. And way back in 1904, Jack Chesbro had 239, and Ron Guidry had the most in a season, in a single season, in 1978, and he had 248. So that is not a bad list to be on. And as you pointed out, the Yankees had 6 home runs that night, which when was the last time we saw that? So that was nice to see. And fun fact, when the Yankees score 5-plus runs with Garrett Cole, they are 13-0, and this includes the postseason in 2020. And also want to shout out Brett Gardner, because he was named the Montefiore Player of the Week for the Yankees that week, with an average of 308, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, OPS of 1.011 that week. So shout out to Gardy.
And this was also the first time this season, because you asked, Lisa, when was the last time we saw this? This is the first time this season that the Yankees have had 5 different players homer in one game. That's now, it is crazy, though, because we know the guys in the lineup, and they have a lot of mashers, and you would assume that this would have happened. But this has been the story of the season. The up-and-down roller coaster, Jekyll and Hyde, whatever the heck you want to call it, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. That takes us to our next game, where the Yankees did clinch the series win against the O's. Holding off the Birds 4-3. Nasty Nestor Cortez Jr., 6 1/3 innings, 3 hits, an earned run, 2 walks, and 11 Ks, which we will come back to in a second. Mm-hmm. There you go. I know to tee you up for that. Chapman did come in to get his 27th save of the season. Gio Urshela was 3-for-4 with his 12th homer of the year, driving in 2. Gardy was another big day, 3-for-4 with a double and 2 RBIs. And Gleyber Torres was 2-for-3. So the big moment in this game was when the Yanks went ahead and fell behind 1 run going into the, you know, in the bottom of the 8th inning. And then in the top of the 9th, though, they go ahead and Tyler Wade gets on first, goes ahead, steals second, then steals third on a double steal, because when Gleyber got on, to draw in the infield, or Orioles brought the infield in. And then Gardy goes ahead and bloops one over second over shortstop, because with the adrenaline infield, to go ahead and give the Yanks the 4-3 lead at the time. So I think the interesting thing there is the fact that Gleyber Torres scored on this. He was way off of second base. Now the question is, did he either A, get a great read on that blooper, or B, did he forget how many outs there were and was just off of it with 2 outs? That's the big question that I think we'll never find out, because I don't remember anything in the postgame about this. And because if you watch the replay, right, at first I thought it was a great read. But then on the replay, he's at third base and kind of like looks like he's looking back and forth and hesitating. And obviously he's got to go at that point, because otherwise he's going to get thrown out. It's a fortunate mistake. That's what I think would happen. I don't think he got the great read after looking at the replay 1,000 times. But I was like curious about this. And whatever. Listen, it worked out. Chapman came in, got the save. Again, though, you're battling with the Orioles, a team that the Blue Jays just beat the living piss out of last weekend. Now, listen, I'm sure the Orioles also will have some pride and like, listen, we just got blown out. We got to, you know, be representative at some point. We are a Major League Baseball team. But now the Orioles, you know, they used Chapman this night. They used Chapman the night before. And they used Chapman on Monday. The first time since, I think, what was it, 2019, that Chapman, or 2018, actually, that Chapman pitched 3 days in a row. So as we know, Aaron Boone never goes to a reliever 3 days in a row. But it also shows you where the Yankees are at right now. Their bullpen's running on fumes. And listen, desperate times, all for desperate measures. I mean, and that's what happened. But the fact that he should have never been in the game the game before, we'll get to this upcoming game.
Wait, so before that, I do want to say a couple of things about this game. So in the top of the second, I don't know if you remember this, Cedric Mullins robbed Gary Sanchez of a home run in center field,
yes,
which was like phenomenal catch, amazing. And so, you know, normally, okay, no big, you know, all right, that sucks, blah, blah, blah. What I thought was funny when I was looking at the recap was that in the bottom of the fifth, Gio Urshela makes a ridiculous diving catch at shortstop, robbing Austin Wynn of a hit. And then in the top of this, it felt like the teams were just like going back and forth about who's got the better defense. Because in the top of the seventh, poor Gary Sanchez just had like a bad night. Like he couldn't get anything past anybody because Kelvin Gutierrez totally robbed him again of a bullet at third base, and you could tell like it almost knocked him off his feet. Like he had to take a couple steps back and catch his balance.
They caught him, he didn't catch it.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those like, oh, so I just wanted to point that out. The other thing I wanted to point out was that this game was on Roberto Clemente Day in Major League Baseball. I'm sure many people know who that is. I know I have a friend that I used to play with who that's his favorite player. But in case you don't know who he was, Roberto Clemente used to wear the number 21 and was on the Pittsburgh Pirates for 18 seasons. He was the 1966 National League MVP with a .317 average, 29 home runs, 119 RBIs, a two-time World Series champion in 1960 and 1971, and the World Series MVP in 71. He was a 15-time All-Star, folks. 15 out of 18 years of playing, he made it to the All-Star game. That's freaking amazing. A 12-time Gold Glove winner and the 1973 Hall of Fame inductee. Outside of baseball, he was a significant humanitarian who consistently gave back. So Major League Baseball has an award now for players every year, and Kyle Higashioka is the Yankees representative that's up for that award this year. And last but not least, definitely not least, Roberto Clemente was a fellow Puerto Rican. So he did a lot, not only for Puerto Ricans, not only for baseball, but for the good of a lot of folks. He helped a lot of folks out in his time. So just wanted to name that because several players wore his number. Kyle Higashioka and all the other players who are nominated for the award wore it. And then certain players who requested it wore it. So I know that Giancarlo Stanton also had it on that day as well.
And also something at also Anthony Rizzo wore it. He was also wore 21. And I feel like someone else did. May have been just Anthony Rizzo, though. But with this win on this night, though, I almost missed my own note as well, is that the Yankees clinched their 29th consecutive winning season, dating back to 1993. This is the third longest streak of such winning seasons, with the Yankees actually doing it from 1926 to 1964. They hold the record for most consecutive winning seasons, 39 straight. The Montreal Canadiens, they went ahead and did it twice. They did it once. It was from the 51-52 season to the 82-83 season, which was 32 consecutive years. Now the Yankees are tied with the Bruins for the third longest streak of consecutive winning seasons at 29. So, you know, that's definitely something that, you know, is pretty impressive, you know, along the stretch, even though, you know, obviously they haven't won since 09. But to have your team win that many consecutive winning seasons, period, not easy. Not easy at all. Props to the Yanks on that. Any more notes before we roll on to some really dicey times?
I mean, the only other note for this game is also that it kicked off Hispanic Heritage Month, but I'll get into that a little bit more later on.
Okay. So that is a really frustrating one, which is Thursday night, where the Yanks went ahead and got walked off by the Orioles in 10 innings, 3-2. Jordan Montgomery once again throws the shit into the stick, going 5 2/3, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 12 strikeouts.
Okay, can we just I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like,
no, go for it.
Yankees, what are you doing to your boy? He's giving you literally everything he can every game, and you can't hit for him? I mean, 12 strikeouts. That blows my mind. I'm going to give a stat about
him. Okay,
when you're done, I'm going to give you a stat about him and Nestor Cortes Jr. going back-to-back. But, like, Yankees, you got to get it together. You got to figure this out, because it seems like every season they like, unofficially pick one pitcher that they're just not going to hit for. I mean, it seems like they're doing that for most of them right now, but the most consistent one, and there's always a standout one that it's like they never hit for this guy. Poor Jordan Montgomery. He's trying so hard for you. Can you please try hard for him too? Because 12 strikeouts, come on. Somebody needs to take him out for a steak dinner.
I don't know what the hell he did, but to somebody in there. But Stanton was 2-for-5. Joey Gallo hit his 35th home run of the year. But this game was lost, essentially, because they were one strike away in the bottom of the ninth inning. And I know it was pouring rain throughout the game, but Clay Holmes goes ahead and throws another wild pitch, which got past Sanchez or whatever. You can make your case whether Sanchez should have caught it or not. Debatable. Sanchez also saved him from a couple other pitches that were pretty wild as well. So, I mean, you got to give and take whatever that's going to be. But it's frustrating. They're one strike away with two outs with a runner on third, and that's it. Like, these are games you can't – I mean, listen, it's hard to win every single game. It's baseball. But to be one strike away from against the worst team in baseball, you just – in a pennant race, you can't let these games get away, man. You just – absolutely can't. The Yanks got bit in the ass by you not going to go with Chapman 4 days in a row. So that's why he wasn't able to close it out. I mean, then who the hell knows with Chapman with the wet ball also. So it could have easily just as easily been him. But that's why you didn't have Chapman in there. So if things wouldn't have got dicey 2 days ago, maybe Chapman's in there. Maybe it's a different result. Who knows? But you got Clay Holmes closing out the game, which is he's not our closer. He should have never been in that situation, but as the games are interconnected, this is what we end up with. And also, only scoring 2 runs against the Orioles is a problem. It's a huge problem. I mean, you got to put up runs against these guys. Yes, you shouldn't be struggling with the Orioles like this. I'm sorry. And they came back to get them. But go ahead. I hit us with the stats. I know what it is, and it's a pretty wild one.
So the last time the Yankees had back-to-back double-digit strikeouts in games was back in 2009, which also boggles my mind because I definitely saw those two games and it feels like yesterday. But it was when AJ Burnett and CC Sabathia did it on August 27th and 28th in 2009. That's how long it's taken. That is crazy. I do want to point out, too, another fun stat. This one's a positive one. At the end of that game, Joey Gallo had hit his fifth home run in the last 11 games. So it seemed like Joey Gallo was starting to heat up at the right moment for us.
Yeah, that's a preview for things to come later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
but the Yanks would go ahead and come back home where they would welcome in the future Guardians, or current, whatever, it's their name, the Cleveland Indians, they welcome into town and beat the piss out of them Friday night. I mean, rightfully so. That's what you're supposed to do. Corey Kluber got the start and pitched an absolute gem against his former team, and I'm sure it was a little incentive. Listen, he pitched a great game against them now, pitched a no-hitter against the Texas Rangers, another one of his former teams early in the season. Don't mess with Kluber Lang, man. Like, apparently he will get you back. So maybe the Yanks want to think about that. Maybe, you know, next season we might want to keep him around for a little while. But he picked up his fifth win of the season, going 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Joey Gallo, that guy again, hit 2 home runs, 3-for-4. He's got 37 homers on the season with 3 runs scored. Aaron Judge was 2-for-4 with his 35th home run of the year. And, like, the one that really blew it open was Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner hit his 9th home run of the season, driving in 3. And Giancarlo Stanton hit his 29th homer of the year. With the shutout, though, it was the Yankees' 12th shutout of the season, and the only team that has more is the Blue Jays that have 14 games this season where they have, you know, they've shut teams out. You got any further stats? I mean, it was nice to see the Bombers bashing like they should be against teams like the Indians. And they faced Plesac, who's actually a good pitcher. So go figure, right? They face a good starter. They beat the crap out of him, and they're struggling with the Orioles.
Yep.
That's baseball, Susan.
So I just want to name that Joey Gallo, his second home run went 418 feet, which is insane. I was pretty impressed by that. The other home runs of the night, just to give perspective, were 393, 405, 374, and 407. So, I mean, I know people have hit home runs higher than that, but most of the home runs for the Yankees this year have been averaging in the much lower 400 range. So, except for a couple, obviously, Giancarlo Stanton ones, and Lou Voit crushes some pretty powerful ones too. So this is not a fun fact, but I had to write it down and say it. The first baseman for Cleveland, Bradley, when he was in high school and he was learning how to play first base, he popped his hamstring doing a split to make a scoop play.
Yeah.
The first time he ever did it. And so they said that after he did a scoop play. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I can't believe he still does that. Oh, I mean, obviously you have
instinctive.
To.
Yeah.
And I get it. But can you imagine the first time you ever tried doing that and you pop your hamstring? Oh, and in high school too. That's, I'm sure he got a lot of sympathy though. Just saying. Fun fact, Aaron Judge is tied for 5th place in the American League with 10 outfield assists this year, and we saw one during the game. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, I'm sure, but DJ LeMahieu, is there any position that you cannot play? Because I don't think there is. I think that if we needed you to pitch, you could probably pitch too. Who knows? But it seems like wherever we put you, you step up, and you don't just play it. You play it really well and make it look really good. So shout out to DJ LeMahieu for that.
Yeah, no, he's Mr. Versatility on the team, and it's definitely come to help him out quite a bit, especially when Boone, during the week, decided to reshuffle the infield, and looks like, you know, Wade and Gio Urshela are going to pretty much get most of the reps at shortstop. DJ LeMahieu looks like he's pretty much the third baseman, unless, obviously, Wade is in. Labor Torres, you know, finally got moved out of shortstop. He's went back to his old position at second base, because I think pretty much seeing so. Kind of seen enough of it at shortstop. I mean, it was not working out. Again, desperate times call for desperate measures. You got to, you know, try what you can right now because they're in the middle of a playoff hunt, game and a half out of, you know, behind the Red Sox now. You know, you're behind the Blue Jays, so got to get things going. When they did not get things going, though, was unfortunately Saturday and Sunday where they took 2 beatings by the hand of Cleveland, but Saturday not looking good again, 11-3. Luis Gil made the start, only lasted 4 1/3, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 walks, which was pretty much his undoing, striking out 6. But the guy who really, really, really let this thing get out of hand in a heartbeat was Albert Abreu. He was out of the circle of trust. He was back in the circle of trust. And he's back out of the circle of trust again. Lasted 2/3 of an inning, 4 hits, and 5 earned runs. It happened in a blink of an eye. He turned this into an absolute blowout. I mean, Stanton broke up the shutout with his 30th home run of the year. Luke Voit tacked on his 11th home run of the year, you know, a 2-run homer. But, I mean, Hill was sent down after the game. Obviously, you kind of figured that was coming because it looks like we're getting Jameson Taillon back this week. So his spot was up. I mean, we were big advocators for Hill to stay in a rotation, but he's got to get the control back under control, because it's out of control. You can't walk that many guys in the majors. I mean, that's it. You can see the talent that the kid's got, but it's just he's just not ready yet, just not quite yet. I mean, you can see why he's in the minors. You know, honestly.
Yeah, it stinks because, you know, when he first came up, he looked really good, really strong. And then I don't know what happened. I guess people adjusted to him, you know, fairly quickly, but hopefully he can get his confidence back and look as dominant as he did in his first couple of starts when he first started playing with us.
Yeah. You know, we'll see. Maybe for 2022, it'll be in the cards for him, and I'm pretty sure that's probably the last time, barring injury, that we're going to probably see heal this season. You have any further notes on this stinker, or are we going to move on?
No.
Okay. So let's get to this afternoon stinker, which we were both at separately. And the future Guardians whooped the Bombers again, 11-1. Not what you want. Garrett Cole going into the game, you figure, all right, Cole's is our ace. He's going to shut this damn thing down and get us back on track. And he really didn't have it today. Lasting 5 2/3, and honestly, probably shouldn't have even lasted that. But with the bullpen on fumes, I can honestly understand what Boone was doing here. He goes ahead and he needed to give him life because you can't run these guys out there every single game. 10 hits, 7 earned runs, a walk, 7 Ks. Gio Urshela was 2 for 3 with his 13th home run year. DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Rizzo were both 2 for 4, but they really weren't threatening too much at all. In the first inning again, and then they banged into another double play to short circuit that. So now Garrett Cole has allowed 5+ runs in a game 5 times this season. That's more than any time between 2018 and 2020 seasons combined, which he only did it 4 times over the course of those 3 seasons, because we know last year was like a third of the season. But
right.
You know, it's telling, man. I mean, it's just, it sucks. He's still obviously going to be in the Cy Young contention. That's this isn't costing him that. But he's only going to have 2 more starts this year, and they're ones that we really need him to come up big with. I mean, we needed him to come up big this afternoon, and unfortunately just did not happen at all. He had nothing, and I guess that does happen, but you're the ace. Yeah.
So,
have to happen.
Sorry about that. Like you mentioned, we were both at the game. So, you know what I was surprised at? Fans booed him.
Yeah, that was extreme.
I was like, oh, wow. Like, we had this conversation recently in one of our podcasts about booing. But, like, come on. Garrett Cole is not the guy you boo. I'm sorry. There's plenty
ridiculous.
Of other guys on the team that, like, you know, if you want to think about it, you could boo them, but definitely not him. He had, what, like, 2 bad starts over the course of a really great year, or 3 bad starts over the course of a really great year. Like, get over it, because there have been people who've done a lot worse than him, Aroldis Chapman being the first one on my list. So I was really surprised about that. I turned to my friend, and I was like, I can't believe they're booing him right now. That's crazy. I just want to make note. So I was sitting in section 211 today. So it was pretty close to where Gio Urshela hit his home run. And I heard the right fielder hit the wall.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
Like, I couldn't believe how hard. The fact that I could hear it over the roar of the crowd, I couldn't even – I was like – I don't feel right clapping for this home run because this guy, I think.
Yeah, that was awkward, right? It was awkward.
My whole section was like, yeah. And I was like, there's a guy. Like, it made a solid bump. And he actually didn't like stay on. He got up at, like, he got a little bit up at first and then he laid back down. I was so worried about him because I think he hit the wall with his arm up too, going to catch.
He threw the ball once and tried to see if he was okay. One throw, yeah. And he was like, no, I'm done.
Yeah, he was like, no, take me out of the game.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened. I didn't get to watch the replay when I got home, but apparently our lovely fans in the crowd in the bleachers were talking some junk, and if I'm not mistaken, it was the left fielder said something to them, and then they did the a-hole cheer for him. And you know what? His teammate just got really hurt, and some idiot in the stand, I'm going to name it, I'm a Yankee fan, but some of us are really jerks. Yeah. Some idiot in the stand probably said something really stupid, and he defended his friend, which I probably would have done the same thing as a fellow Yankee fan anyway. So I'm not mad at him I know as a player, like, you know, people talk junk all the time and you kind of have to ignore it. But in that moment, like, you don't know, that could have been a, who knows, it could have been a career ending play for this guy, right? You know, you don't know what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And here's some idiot talking junk. I'm going to say something to defend my teammate. So I don't know. I just felt like the fans were like, I mean, we're not, Yankee fans aren't known for being classy. So I'm owning that. Mm-hmm. But like, totally not a classy moment for the Yankee fans that did that. I didn't think it was cool.
No, you don't cheer for injuries for anybody. That's kind of where you draw the line. You don't go ahead and get into injuries and shit like that.
No. That's not cool. So the one bright spot about this game for me was that I bought tickets representing Hispanic Heritage Month, and my tickets came with this gorgeous hat. So for fans who and there's a couple of weekends of tickets. It's not just this weekend, but this whole weekend, and I think maybe next week, the next weekend that they're home. You can purchase a ticket to a Yankee game and get a hat with the flag of your choice on it, folks. So I am Puerto Rican. I got this one. And let me tell you, I have always wanted a Yankee hat with a Puerto Rican flag on it. So y'all gonna see me living in this hat because it combines my two biggest loves in life, the Yankees and being Puerto Rican. The only way that this could have been better was if Giancarlo Stanton himself handed me the hat. Okay. Which, by the way, I was sitting near right field, and oh my god, I got the
ball. Oh boy, here we go.
You know, I have to make a reference at least once a podcast.
Well, hold on a second though. What if Bernie Williams handed you this hat? Hey, he's a fellow Puerto Rican and a great Yankee. What, you would have not taken the hat?
Of course I would have, but I would have made him put his guitar down because he probably would have handed it to me while holding his guitar. He probably would have handed it to me on I don't know what that's called, the neck of the guitar.
I think that would have been fantastic. I think that's the only way to do it.
No. While playing the national anthem because that's the only song he plays.
No, stop it. He played Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the first game in the stadium. I was there for it, damn it.
Listen, there's the other Yankee. Like, if Jorge Posada handed me the hat, that would be dope.
Of course, you would lose it.
I would totally lose it. Giancarlo Stanton is part Puerto Rican. Thank you very much. Andrew Velasquez. I mean, shout out to Andrew Velasquez. I want you to come back. I miss you.
I don't think we're seeing him unless it's.
I know.
Sometimes. I think Wade is kind of taking that spot. But, I mean, listen, overall, man, they're like. The bullpen's on fumes. Maybe it's reset a little bit today, but like they're really, really struggling. I mean, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they're right there with it. The big games that are coming up, they got to start taking care of business because they do play the Red Sox and the Blue Jays two more series this season. So you also don't want to fall back far enough where those games you sweep them and you still can't catch them because the division's gone. I mean, we know that. There's just not enough time. It would take the epic collapse of epic collapses. Like the Rays would literally have to lose every single game from here on out. And we would have to win every single one to essentially overtake them. So we're aiming at the wild card. Just get in the damn wild card game and take your chances and let's see how it goes. Because I'll tell you right now, if they don't make the playoffs with the expectations going into the season, what they were, heads are going to have to roll. But, I mean, it'd be a colossal failure. So get in there and let's see what happens. You got a couple of weeks left. Time is a running out, as they say, but I said it. I'm not listening to people say it. Who knows? All right, so let's get into our top of the heap hitter of the week. You want to go first?
I'm going to go first. I think, we got a sneak peek of who yours was.
Yes.
I had two, so I'm going to go with the other one. I chose Gio Urshela.
Okay.
So over the course of the last week, Gio's batting average was .348. His OPS was 1.027. Two home runs, five RBIs, three runs, one walk, on-base percentage of .375, and a slugging percentage of .652. While he was definitely my second choice, I still feel like Gio has been producing a lot since coming back off of the injured list. So I just wanted to appreciate him for that. And my first choice is your choice.
Pico de Gallo?
Yes.
Is that his own? All right. My pick is a guy who was heating up and unfortunately had to leave yesterday's game with a stiff neck. and sat out today, which I'm assuming for the same reason. Hopefully he's back in the lineup tomorrow because he was just heating up. Over his last seven games, Joey Gallo hit .368 with a .381 on-base percentage and a slugging percentage of .1158. Pretty damn good. Bopping five homers, six RBIs. And, well, you know, you're going to get the home runs and the RBIs, and you're also going to get strikeouts, striking out five times in 19 at-bats. So, I mean, it is what it is. That's Joey Gallo, and that's kind of, you get a, you know, you give the, you know, the good with the bad. It's just how it goes. That's how he rolls. But go ahead and start with pitcher of the week because, you know, I think we might have the king of the hill. We might have different ones for this, but go ahead. Go for it. You let me pick first for hitter of the week, so you go for pitcher.
Well, no, I said hitter of the week first.
No, I know, but you allowed me. You go ahead and you backed off mine, so I'm gonna because you already know who it is. I gave it away, so go for it. What do you got?
This was hard, and I told you that had we met last week, I was not gonna be able to pick a pitcher. So I did this strictly by stats, and I got to shout out the two guys who had all the damn strikeouts. So because one of them is one of my favorites, I'm going with Nasty Nestor Cortez. So his ERA over the last week was a 1.42. He had 6.1 innings pitched, three hits, one run, one earned run, one home run, two walks to his name, the 11 strikeouts that we talked about. His whip was 0.79, and batter's averages against him were a 136. Who do you have?
Nestor Cortez was probably who I was going to go with.
And oh, my bad. No,
it's fine. We can go with the same one. We can kind of, unofficially go with the same one. But I am going to go with Michael King. Because King was probably the only reliever this week to not give up a damn run. And I'm going to tell you something, though. He looked good in his two outings. He gave pitch three innings in both outings, giving the bullpen a break. So that's what I'm going to go with. I'm also someone who seems to be pulling for Michael King a little bit because that was the – when me and Angie a couple of years ago went down to Trenton to see the Bat Dog when they were a Yankees AA affiliate, King started that game and looked awesome. He was lights out that night. I mean, that fastball, he was throwing in the high 90s like obviously he is now. The temperature that night was also in the high 90s as well, which is why they had to shut down – they had to shut down poor rookie, you know, pretty after a couple innings. But no, the kid's got some promise. And honestly, he's an arm that they desperately need in the bullpen right now. With Zach Britton out and Jonathan Weisiger, we don't really know. We know he threw a couple of days ago. We're not really sure what's happening with him. But that's a big reason why the Yanks have been struggling lately is that their bullpen is in shambles. I mean, who the hell do you trust out there? We talked about the circle of trust, but like Chapman's looking a little bit better, but we don't know out and out and what the hell's going to happen. Clay Holmes has pitched pretty well, but this week, you know, he had a couple of rough outings here and there. But you need arms in there, and Michael King is somebody who can give them some innings. He can give them two or three innings at a time, which will be very helpful at times. And also, Luis Severino looks like he might be activated this week, which he will be out of the bullpen. Listen, you got to get him wherever you can get him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. We need all the arms we can get. The starters can't consistently give us six, seven innings. Then screw it. We got to get guys who can give us multiple innings out of the bullpen. So I'm going to go with Michael King, a guy I don't think I've ever mentioned as a pitcher of the week, even though we've changed names of the pitcher of the week. Anytime, any name, it hasn't happened. So shout out to my boy, Michael King, but Nestor Cortez, also probably really the king of the hill of the week, but Michael King will go with it so he can get some shine too. All right, so let's get into the well, I did not switch the bottom line. Whoops, my bad. Let's get into the preview. We got the Rangers coming into the town, a team that the Yankees, another one that they should completely wipe the floor with the next three games. But as we have seen, they like to play games, and when you play stupid games, you get stupid prizes. So that's where it is. All right, Lisa, what do we got coming up this week with the Rangers rolling into town?
All right. So tomorrow we have AJ Alexi going against Nestor Cortez Jr. AJ Alexi is a right-hand pitcher. He has a 2-0 record, 3.68 ERA and 14 strikeouts to his name. And our friend Nasty Nestor Cortez Jr. is a left-hand pitcher with a 2-2 record, 2.60 ERA, and 87 strikeouts on the season. On Tuesday the 21st, we'll be playing against Dane Dunning, who's a right-hand pitcher, 5-8 record, 4.28 ERA, and 103 strikeouts. And he's got, listen, the Yankees, I'm going to say this again, get it together, because our boy Jordan Montgomery is pitching that night. I'm going to need you to get several hits for him.
This is Tuesday night.
This is Tuesday night, the 21st.
I will be there Tuesday and Wednesday night, and I'll scream my lungs out or something like that. Like, maybe I'll try to get Joe Boo. I will bring Joe Boo to Yankee Stadium to try to wake up, try to get the bats going.
Please.
Something. Jesus Christ, anything.
For the love of all things, people, just hit the ball for him. So Jordan is a left-hand pitcher, and his record could be much better, but it's 5-6 because of the team, not because of him. Yes. His ERA is 3.63, and he has 149 strikeouts to his name this year. And then on Wednesday, the 22nd, which shout out to my sister-in-law, Barbara, that is her birthday. Happy birthday, Barbara. We are playing against Taylor Hearn, who's a left-hand pitcher. His record is 6-5 with a 4.52 ERA and 87 strikeouts. And he's playing against one of Ed's favorite nicknames, Kluber Lang, Corey Kluber. Right-hand pitcher, 5-3 record, 3.68 ERA and 76 strikeouts. Just want to name, because I can, because it's my birthday, they're playing, they open up their series with the Red Sox on the 24th, which is my birthday. I accept all birthday love on the Pop Culture.
Happy birthday, Lisa. We're going to get started early.
Oh, I've been started. Garrett Cole is pitching against the infamous to be determined, but Garrett Cole is our right-handed ace. He is a 15-7 record, 3.03 ERA. And 231 strikeouts on the season so far. And I do want to say one more thing, not about the pitching probables, but about the New York Yankees. Hey, Yankees, when I received the email saying that it was Hispanic Heritage Month, you had the audacity to say it's the first time you're ever celebrating it. What?
Really? That's not true.
That's what they said.
That's not true.
I have an email from
the Yankees. No. I believe your email says that. For a fact, I can tell you right now that they have went ahead and celebrated that thing for years. Maybe this is the first time they're doing the Caps. That I've never seen before.
Maybe. Yeah. I will say this, though. I did not know otherwise that it was Hispanic Heritage Month at the stadium. There wasn't anything at the stadium to show me that. I know that you and I have been commenting when we both watch it on TV, the ridiculous music that they play. It's like the same, like, old salsa song or whatever.
Like
that
stock salsa music.
Oh no, it isn't even a salsa song. It's like a not a ranchero. I can't think of the name of it right now. Like, I don't know, but it's like the same song after the innings, and we're like, this is ridiculous. That is not how you celebrate that is not the only way to celebrate Hispanic heritage. Find some food from the Bronx, which, by the way, we learned that another team suggested that the Yankees do not play in the Bronx. They do.
By the way, Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians Twitter account Saturday had some fiasco where they were like, maybe we'll have they were saying something about the Bronx Bombers nickname. They're like, they don't even play in the Bronx. They play in Harlem. Dick.
Okay.
No, they do.
We're both New Yorkers. We were both born and raised here. They play in the Bronx.
They very much play in the Bronx. So either A, you're shitty at geography, B, you've never been to New York, or C, you're just a complete idiot. My guess, all of the above. I choose D, all of the
above. You choose D, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to choose D, all of the above, because that was awful. And I will shout out John Boy, because they were the first ones on this on Twitter. I saw them jump on it. And he writes, like, what am I missing? I don't know. My guess is that's what it is. They're just an idiot who's never been to New York and sucks at geography. Because they obviously very much play in the Bronx. So zip it, Guardians.
So I'm just encouraging the Yankees, hey, like, maybe you could do a little bit more to honor Hispanic heritage, seeing as there are a lot of Latino players in Major League Baseball, and have been for many, many years. So I would love to see that. I would love to be seeing honored and elevated more. I mean, I think all sports have done better at recognizing all the different cultures that represent the sports, right? Mm-hmm. So all of the players that come from the different backgrounds. Certainly a lot of teams in all major sports really stepped it up with Black Lives Matter, which I appreciated because that was way overdue. Just ask Colin Kaepernick how he feels about that. So we just need to keep doing better with recognizing that, you know, and I can get heat for this, I don't care, but it's not just white men who play in men's professional sports. It's not just white women who play, and it's not just white people who watch. All right, there are plenty of people of color who absolutely love and live on and grew up with all sports. I played baseball since I was probably 3 years old. My dad put a wiffle ball bat in my hand when I was like 2 or 3, and I've been throwing a ball since probably I could pick one up. So sports are huge in all cultures, whatever the sport is. And we talked about this before, sports have a way of uniting people. And for many, many years, it looked like it was only white people who cared about them. And I'm here to tell you, it's not just white people, it's white people. And so let's please, you know, just honor and recognize all the different people who play and watch sports. So maybe do something better to honor Hispanic heritage than just playing, you know, some random old salsa song or whatever that song is in between innings. Find other ways to do it. This hat, great start. I can finally represent my two favorite things on a daily basis. Great start, but do more. That's all. That's my PSA.
Yeah. Hey, listen, when Gallo or Rizzo hits a home run, they also play some stock Italian music that is crap too. So whatever.
Correct.
Yes, network, just get on a little bit overall. It's fine.
Hire me as a consultant.
It's true. This is true. You'd be the DJ of the Yes Network. And
oh my gosh, I would love that job.
It would be very interesting because, I mean, we also have a fun time picking our intro music week to week. And yeah, that's always there. But all right. So that pretty much kind of like wraps it up for us this week. There we go. We're without speaker, so we're going to do what we got to do. Thanks for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it as always. Thanks for joining us on the Facebook stream. If you're on checking us out on Facebook, come over and check the Empire 161 show group. Join the group. We share highlights, final scores, join the daily conversation about the Yanks. We all, you know, we always appreciate it. If you're checking us out on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter and everything, be sure to follow Pop Culture Pros. You can find us there along with a lot of other cool shows. There's one coming up right after this as I am pulling a doubleheader tonight called Granny's Peach Tea. If you're into comic books and stuff like that, we'll be talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings and Titans and all that. Check that out if you're into the Mets, because we know a couple of Met fans love this show and watch us every week. You can go ahead and check out the Put in the Book show and check us out too. Well, we appreciate your support as well. If you're into wrestling, check out Tim and Eric on the Just Too Sweet show. They do a great job on Tuesday nights. Check out Tim also on his Star Wars show on Shooting the Sith, which is a brand new show on Top Pop Culture Pros that checks out Star Wars every week. So you got that. You got Jader and Kyle. They cover movies. Check them out. If you're into the New York Giants, because a lot of Yankees fans and Giants fans go together, check out the We Stomp You Out show. They go ahead and they do a great job covering the Giants. And we also have a brand new NFL show that talks about fantasy football and football in general. So go ahead and check that out. And I will not forget our buddy Eric, who does the A to Z show on Monday nights now because we switched to Sunday nights. So you can go ahead and check him out. Eric, as always, thanks for hooking us up with our Sunday night time slot. Next Sunday night, we will not be on because the Yankees are on Sunday Night Baseball. Lisa gets to hear A-Rod call a Yankees-Red Sox game. Super excited about that. But we will post. We're going to try to maybe squeeze in a show Saturday afternoon before the Yankees-Red Sox. But we'll see how it goes. But we will keep everyone posted. Lisa, any final words before we sign off?
Yeah, I just want to say, too, if you love polls like I do, the Pop Culture page constantly has polls, too. So I know one of the ones that should be coming up is a poll on I cannot hear over Frank Sinatra.
He gets loud at this one.
He gets really loud. Anyway, there's a poll coming up on top 10 favorite movies that start with a letter S. I know I submitted mine, so I can't wait to see everybody's list. But, you know, come and look at the list and send some comments and share your top favorite movies that start with the letter S as well. Just join all the conversations. They're always fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like Darren Dalton, that whole thing. Darren's all long story, off air. All right, so we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully a better week. Yanks. Start kicking ass. Let's go. It's right in front of you. Go ahead and get that damn wild card spot. See you next week. Let's go, Yankees.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. Thank you.